This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, thankfully, Rule 76 is not for four full hours, because we have a lot to do today. Welcome to 1994, everybody. Knicks looking terrific yesterday. Gutty, gritty win down in MSG South, and the Rangers in MSG Souther go take care of business against the Washington Capitals. So much to do. Islanders keep their season alive. Mets with an exciting win yesterday. Yankees break out the bats. But it's going to be a lot of the playoffs today. We say good morning, NFL draft as well, finished up this weekend. Good morning to the one and the only Rick DiPietro. Hi, Rick.
Hello, David. The week is finally here. Finally. We've been teasing it for months, it feels like. Pre-game party Thursday.
Yep, Thursday.
Pickleball Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Rangers just take care of business. That's what they did.
Workmanlike.
Listen, first two periods, not great. I'm sure someone stepped up to the locker room after that second period and was like, fellas, what are we doing here? Do we really want to play another game in this series against this team that's nowhere close to as good as us? Nope. We're just going to go score on the power play, which has been an absolute weapon for them in this series. And then the Knicks. I mean, you want to talk about one of the great, great performances you've seen from a Knicks player in the playoffs, Jalen Brunson last night.
Yeah, that's right up there, right?
Hoo-wee. 47? Are you kidding me last night? First 40-point 10-assist game in Knicks playoff history?
That's right. That is correct. And do you remember? Because it's not so long ago that we were sitting here, Brunson, is he going to be okay? How concerned should we be? What happens if Philly has figured him out? And then remember, on Thursday night and then into the show Friday, we sat here and said, okay, well, they didn't win. And they couldn't really control Embiid and Maxey, but at least Brunson looks like he's going to be fine because he played well. And then yesterday, he was not good. He was great. And an undermanned Knicks team went out there and smacked in the biggest moments of the game. Out-efforted, wanted it more, out-everythinged that Philadelphia team, and in front of thousands of Knicks fans, took care of business in Philadelphia.
And I liked your tweet, too. Not only did they win, but the Knicks fans showed up and showed out and took over that building yesterday.
What an embarrassment.
Listen, I mean, give them tons of credit, man. They traveled. They were loud. And the Sixers, I mean, you heard Joel Embiid talking about it after the game last
yesterday.
That was
great.
They knew it. They could hear it. They could sense it. But here's the thing. Going on the road, you need your best players, your stars, to show up, because it usually is harder for the role players in those spots. Like Josh Hart was awesome yesterday with the 17 rebounds. Felt like he was all over the place, plays over 45 minutes. He had 4 points. Didn't make a 3, 0 for 7 from the field. So offensively, not very good. OG, more aggressive yesterday. He was probably their second best offensive player.
I thought that was his best game of the series yesterday.
Best game of the series. Ducey, yep. Right? Between the 13 points he scored, played good defense against Maxey. And then, you know, the guy you got to give lots of credit to is Precious Achiuwa. Coming off the bench, Hartenstein picks up all 5 fouls in the third quarter, and Precious comes out and plays the entire fourth quarter. And for anyone at home keeping track of how Joel Embiid has done in the fourth quarter in this series, yesterday, 0-5, he had 1 point, he had 1 rebound. In the series, in the fourth quarter, game 1, he was 0-5, game 2, 2-6, game 3, 1-2, and game 4, 0-5.
So walk me through that again. How many field goals in the fourth quarter does he have in the series?
He has 3.
3 field goals in the fourth quarter. And is it fair to say that every game has been very tightly contested in the fourth quarter?
Very tight. Overall, it's 3 of 18, yeah.
3 of 18. I mean, this guy, he you know what? He gets what he deserves. I didn't realize I detest Embiid and Nick Nurse. Detest those guys. And I don't like Kyle Lowry too much either.
Yeah, here's the thing with Kyle Lowry, though, is we almost, not we, I think people will kind of, Richard Jefferson, hey, he's just a wily vet. That's just what wily vets do. They take advantage. A perfect example is that, he ends up getting 3 free throws where he notices Jalen's on the ground and decides to just, he dives over him and shoots and ends up getting a foul called. Flops all over the place. But Joel Embiid, you're right, man. You want to talk about, in a blink of an eye, working his way up the list of my most detested athletes that we play against. Ugh.
I'm actually at the point, and you might feel differently, but I'm actually at the point where I want no part of him on the Knicks. Like, if they decide, you know, we got to undress this thing, we got to move on from him and trade him, and the Knicks would give them up, I don't want him. I don't think he's a clutch winning player, and I don't want that kind of punk guy on the Knicks who are so well set up for the future. I don't want him.
Right, but exactly like, you wouldn't want Tom Wilson either, would you? Unless he was on your team. Like, you don't like some of the antics, but you recognize that when he's dropping 50 on your face after he guarantees that they're going to come back in the series, that he's one of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah, one of the best players in the NBA. You know what? Someone else can take him.
No, I don't think...
His injuries and his antics and his dirtiness,
right,
I don't want
But him. I don't... Listen, if they offered me Joel Embiid, I would take Joel Embiid, because the beauty of our team is Joel Embiid is not the one that has set the culture here. Joel Embiid is not the one that sets the tone here. That's Jalen Brunson. That's Tom Thibodeau. Those guys set the tone. They set the culture. Hey, Joel, you want to learn how to win a championship? Yeah, we'll show you. Just like Barry Trotz did in Washington with Ovechkin. Hey, Ovi, who was awful, by the way, in the Rangers series.
In that series?
He had 5 shots in the whole series.
Oh, brutal.
No points.
He was 70 years old.
I'll tell you what, though. Watching him play and watching some of the things that Joel Embiid does, like, perfect example of this was when he falls down. And he's just like, it's reckless, but you can kind of tell, you can tell what he's doing, but he's pretending like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yep.
And
He knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He steps on Hart twice.
Yep.
Right?
And then is, oh, I'm sorry. Did I get you?
And then my favorite was when he goes down and then pretends like he hurt, that his knee was hurt as he goes down and falls all over. He fell all over Jalen. And then he's like, with my knee. No, stop it. Stop yourself, would you please?
Nobody is on the court. There's no bigger guy who's on the court flopping around like a fish out of water than Joel Embiid. I have never seen anything like it.
It's, he probably doesn't need it, but, he gets rewarded with it because he's always at the free throw line.
He lives at the free throw line. He gets, and that's the thing, too, he gets every call.
Every call. Well, this is what happens when you win the MVP.
I guess. But you know what? It's not about him. It's not about him and his falling apart non-existence in the fourth quarter. It's about us. It's about the Knicks. It's about the toughness. It's about Philly couldn't make a shot down the stretch. It's about what Brunson did. That's what it's about. It's about a complete... what an embarrassment for a city. Because this is not, Florida, where it's like... or Atlanta, where you think to yourself, that's just not great fans. This is Philadelphia. They pride themselves on their fandom. And you know what? And I heard saw people on Twitter yesterday saying, I've been to Giant Stadium where there was more Eagles fans than Giants fans. Yeah, when the Giants stink, not when the Giants are in the postseason. That was a huge game for Philadelphia. And you look around that arena and there's more Knicks fans than 76ers fans. That's embarrassing for them. I don't think they ever get up from this.
Yeah, that's a tough look. Going into a game 4, you just won game 3. Joel Embiid was great. Right? You go down 3-1 all of a sudden, heading back to Madison Square Garden, you don't love your chances. And you had that kind of contingency of Knicks fans take over. It had to be just like, hey, let's make some money on these tickets. Let's sell some of these tickets.
Yeah, but have you ever seen that before?
Where
a great sports
city
in a huge game gets completely overrun by the opposition?
No, especially because this was not like... I could almost understand it if this was what happened with the Rangers and the Capitals. Right? Heavy underdog. No one really thought they had any chance. This was not the case.
And series over, right?
Right. But even if it was 2-1, even if somehow the Capitals found a way to win a game 4, it's still, all I've heard the entire series in the lead up to the series is this is not your run-of-the-mill 7 seed. Had Joel Embiid and healthy, I think I was even saying some of this stuff, they're 31-8 when Joel Embiid is healthy, they would have been a 2 seed. Joel Embiid telling you, we're the better team, we're still going to win the series. You win game three and then have that kind of turnout for game four?
It's unbelievable.
That's wild.
It's sensational. Let's take a listen to Jalen Brunson, who was, and that was, you know, I know we're going to get wrapped up in Embiid and Nick Nurse and the takeover and all that stuff, and we should, but we need to discuss Jalen Brunson, who again was phenomenal. Here he is on the victory by his Knicks.
Somehow we just found a way. We kept fighting, we kept sticking together. We found a way. And when it's ugly and we can find a way to win like that, and then when we're not playing perfect, it's a plus for us, a plus for our confidence. I mean, we're not done yet. We got to continue to have that humble mentality. We got to find a way to win another.
Knicks are better. Knicks are tougher. Knicks are, or they have an intestinal fortitude that Philadelphia just doesn't possess.
I think Knicks are better coached.
Oh, I think so, too.
We spent all this time, you know, last year criticizing Tibbs that he was outcoached by Spo. I mean, you got to give him credit when he deserves credit. Like, I mean, you see some of the offensive possessions for the Sixers down the stretch?
They're brutal.
Ugh. Well, it was a slop fest.
I mean, you get into your offense at like 10, and then you get these shots that are brutal. How about the violation?
Well, how about the defense on Jalen at the end there when he makes the layup?
No one guarding him down the lane. He just puts it in.
Like Embiid's pressuring all the way up the court. Then all of a sudden he gets over. I mean, he gets the ball at the 3-point line and he's looking around like he wants to, you know, eat some more of the shot clock. He's like, oh no, I have a wide open floater here.
Yeah, I'll just take it and I'll go right down the lane and lay it in.
And there you go. Okay, here it is. Let's see how well connected we are.
All right.
So I mentioned that Hartenstein had the 5 fouls in the third quarter, okay, and then Precious steps in. So maybe that was a little bit of a hint. It has nothing to do with Precious or Hartenstein, but can you tell me my favorite play of last night?
Of the whole game.
Of the whole game. By one of my favorite players.
Can I
especially
find,
especially under the circumstances.
Defensively? Defensively,
especially under the circumstances. With where he was in the game. And it was, it was a thing of beauty.
Thing of beauty. Defensively.
Defensive play. I bet Raymond knows it.
Raymond, can you help me? I don't think I know it. Raymond, are you alive?
Sorry, I was...
Mid-bagel. Mid-bagel. Yeah. This is bagel time.
Are we mid-bagel now?
This is bagel time.
Are we?
What was
that? What do we got today? We got a poppy? Sesame?
No, we'd already ate the roll. What was the question, Rick?
I said.
You know what? Not only is he mid-bagel, but he has no idea what you're talking about.
He's not even listening to me.
No.
I was asking Dave what my favorite play, if he could guess my favorite play of the game last night.
Was it Josh Hart?
My man.
Blocking, five fouls.
Yep, 5 fouls. Batum.
At the rim.
Oh, that was a great block.
No fear.
So good.
What a gorgeous block that was. And remember when Batum went nuts in that game against Miami?
Against Miami. He scored 20
and we're like,
game.
You're not going to see Batum like that again. And we were right. You're not going to see Batum. That was a one-off. You're not going to see Batum like that.
Well, their bench stinks. They get no production from their bench.
No, Maxey is terrific. Embiid is good in stretches, great in stretches.
He probably played too much last night.
Maybe, but you take him out of the game, and then they fall
apart.
That's
the problem. That's the problem. He played the entire second half.
Tell me, your heart didn't go into your throat when they brought Brunson back to the locker room at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Well, he was in the locker room to start the fourth quarter.
Well, that's why I just said.
He said he never went. He
room.
Said he never went to the locker room. They were trying to get him to walk it out in the hallway, but he didn't want to go back. But they kind of made him. But he's good.
He better be good.
Well, you
can't afford to lose
him. I mean, he's forget good. He's great. That was a performance. I mean, you talk about the great games in Knicks playoff history. Bernard King had the 50-point games. Right, I mean, Clyde Frazier had the game 7, which is still in my mind.
Well,
he
had no 50-point games because Jalen has the most points in the place. 47 is the most.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that's right.
Raymond.
That's the new Knicks playoff record is what I was
Thank
told.
You.
Bernard had 46.
46.
46?
Yeah.
All right.
My goodness.
I thought, would you stop it?
I'm just telling you. I said it to start the show. It's a franchise record. 47 points is a franchise record.
Well, no, you said first Knick ever to go 40 points and 10 assists.
40 and 10, but yeah, 47.
You didn't say most points.
Most of the list is Bernard, but 46 was the top of it.
Anyhow, Bernard had some great performances, and last night has to be up as one of the top in Knicks postseason history.
You know what the best part of watching this Knicks team play, too, is? Is just you can actually see them want it more.
That's right.
Than the Sixers,
which is so good.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, they just down the stretch are like, we I mean, that one possession, and I didn't even think they scored on it, which was so upsetting, but they had like six shots down the stretch.
Well, dude, they had seven offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. They out-rebounded them 18-8 in the fourth.
Philadelphia didn't want any of what the Knicks were throwing out late in the game.
No, it's just, it is, they make it so hard. Like, you really need to make a decision against this Knicks team that you want to get to their effort level.
And it's hard. And you have to really bring your lunch pail. And then the fourth quarter, Philadelphia did not. They were done.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Brunson on the left side, brings it to the foul line, flips it up, and in!
Jalen's played at such an incredibly high level all season long.
Knicks are better. Knicks are tougher. They have an intestinal fortitude that Philadelphia just doesn't possess.
You can actually see them want it more.
That's right.
Than the Sixers.
Which is so good.
You got a lot of Knicks fans that Philly is costing us more style. I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
That energy is like nothing I've ever experienced in my life.
We're not done yet. We got to continue to have that humble mentality, and we got to find a way to win another.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
We have to get the fourth win, so be ready for that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, good morning. I got to tell you, this might be the most fun I've had on the show in quite some time.
Well, there's not a lot to be upset about.
What is there to be upset about?
I mean, you love where the Knicks are at.
Love it.
Mets won. I mean, I don't...
On an amazing... I mean, they were down to the last strike, and then Bader with the hit, and Vientos with the home run.
Right. And then, I mean, Rangers are poised to make a legitimate run. So we have that. You love where... I mean, you feel like your football team's being well run.
I do.
And now we have the pregame party on Thursday.
Right.
Let's go to a Mets game. And
we
then
have
we
the
got
big pickleball showdown.
And Anita was talking trash yet again.
What was she saying now?
They're gonna smash us. It's whatever. I'm over it. I want the match to happen today.
Well, you got to get there early to talk on the air about this whole thing.
That's fine. I'm gonna get there early, mm-hmm. And we can talk it up, and then we'll see what's gonna happen. She said something about we wanted 3 of 5. Can they handle getting beat up for the best of 5?
Can we handle that?
Can we handle it?
You know what? I'm going to say nothing.
No, I'm not saying anything.
I'm going to put my head down. You know what I'm going to be like? I'm going to be like Jalen Brunson. I'm going to put my head down. If they decide they want to be dirty, that's fine. I'm going to let my pickleball ability show on the court. I'm not going to say a word.
No, you don't have to say a word. Jalen Brunson doesn't have to say a word.
Nope.
He just goes out, does what he does, right? First couple games of the series, struggled offensively, but the other guys picked him up, right? Now going into Philly, game 3. Great game offensively, and then last night he scored or assisted on 70 of the 97 points. Thanks for coming.
It's unbelievable.
Thanks for coming.
And that was playoff basketball too, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was wasn't that one of the biggest questions going into this thing for all of us? I'll include myself in this. Just, I mean, when you have a team like the Knicks and Tibbs that take so much pride in their regular season performance, every game is for them a playoff game.
They said there's nowhere to ratchet it up for the Knicks, right?
Right. Can they get to another level once you hit the postseason, because now you're not going to, for the most part, shouldn't be able to outwork teams. Everyone's going to be locked in. There's going to be desperation on both sides. And you saw in the fourth quarter, clearly a team that wanted it more. And I think it's, you know, probably time that we just accept the fact and enjoy the fact this is Knicks. This Knicks team's a good basketball team. This isn't a team that's just getting by on outworking teams. Yes, they outwork teams. They clearly want it more. I mean, Shaq talked about it last night. But this is a team that's they're a really good basketball team.
Really
good. With a player right now that has taken his game to an MVP level.
And not only are they really good, they're well constructed. Like, they're really well put together. They have the pieces that fit the puzzle. Can you say the Knicks are more talented than Phoenix? I don't know that you can say that. But look at it, all fits. OG's a perfect fit. Hartenstein's a perfect fit. Right, DiVincenzo was a great fit. Brunson has turned himself into a star player. And it all perfectly mixes up together, and the ingredients make a perfect basketball fit team.
Right, you have an identity, right? Like, your coach, you know, coach comes into, you know, whatever team he takes over, has a certain way he wants to play. And then, you know, with the help of the front office, you identify players that fit into, you know, that identity. And then certain roles that you need addressed, right? So, I mean, perfect example of that is OG. Because, I mean, everyone assumed at the time, right? I don't want to say a shock, but surprise when it happened. All of a sudden, boom, you get rid of IQ and, help me with the name now.
RJ Barrett.
No, but we talked about it the next day. Like, that, the assumption with those two was like the big move would include those two.
Right.
And it was like, well, you know, you just lost, you know, IQ and what he was able to do offensively off the bench. You know, RJ, the guy you drafted third overall, and you bring back OG. But then you saw how immediately OG fit into what they were trying to do. Like, there was a certain thing that they wanted addressed. They thought that the starting five defensively wasn't, you know, as good as it should be, and also have the ability to kind of free up Jalen and Julius offensively. And it instantly fit perfectly. And then Josh Hart, what he does in his role and what Hartenstein does in his role. It's like, and then you have the driving force, which is Jalen Brunson. So you have this great player that plays at an MVP level, and you have all these pieces around him that excel in the roles that they've been given. It's a very well-constructed team.
Very well-constructed. Here's Josh Hart reacting to Jalen's record-setting performance yesterday.
Yeah, we needed it. His starting small forward, power forward, whatever the hell I am, ain't make a shot. I was like Shaq at the free throw line. So we needed it. But no, he played great offensively. He was aggressive, you know, and that's what we need. So now, you know, we got to continue to build off that game five and, you know, keep moving forward.
Even when Josh Hart doesn't do what he needs to do offensively, he contributes in so many other ways.
Yeah, he makes an impact on the game. He's a winning player.
He's terrific defensively. He's an elite rebounder. I mean, he does so many things that make his lack of scoring, not that it's okay, because it's not, I don't think you can continue with that, but at least for one game, it's tolerable.
Yeah, but the thing with him is that if, I mean, and he was really good, right? Like, I mean, his ability to make threes and everything else in the series, was he averaging like 21 points in the series? It didn't make a shot yesterday, but like, he'll find a way. If he knows early on, I'm not making my shots, there'll be other things defensively, rebounding, all the things that he does. We talked about that, you know, block on Batum as he's playing with five fouls.
Yep.
Like, he'll find a way to positively contribute to your team. This, you know what this Knicks team is like? This Knicks team is like, and we went through March Madness, and you see like a team like Kentucky that's got all these five-star recruits, guys are going to be one-and-done guys, mm-hmm. and they can't win. They just don't have, they don't know what it takes to win. And then you got this Knicks team that has a superstar in Jalen Brunson, doesn't have their other all-NBA guy. He's hurt. He had shoulder surgery. And then a bunch of guys that just know what it's going to take.
And what they like.
Yeah, well, that's not, I mean, that's guys with egos and everything else. That's not always easy.
Well, like, a lot of these. You said you had a comparison. Who's the comparison?
What, this team?
Well, yeah, you said, you know who the Knicks
are.
No,
this team is like. You name the college team that doesn't focus on the five-star. They focus more on the guys.
UConn?
That are going to be there for a couple of years. Yeah, I was listening to the coach of Denver, the hockey team.
Okay.
They just won the national championship. And he said he's come to the conclusion now, just in It was about NIL and all these different things, transfer portals. He said, I actually look for the guys that I think are going to be more second to seventh round draft picks in the NHL. Really talented guys, but our research has shown us second to seventh rounders are going to stay for the right. most part in college for 3 years.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation of, would you rather get the one and done who's going to be, you know, a phenomenal player, or would you rather get the kid that's going to stay? I mean, the portal changes this too, but for 3 or 4 years. And I think the answer is the good, like the nice player for 3 or 4 years over the superstar for 1 year. I think that's the answer.
Right. Or give me the one superstar and then a bunch of players that are going to be around for 3 years, because those players are going to be willing on a nightly basis to do all the things that the superstar player doesn't necessarily want to do every night.
Yeah. Let's go back to the callers. Let's go to let's bring in D in Queens. D, hi, good morning. How are you?
How are you doing, guys?
Great.
We're gonna start calling me Vindication from Queens, because before the playoffs, before the play-in, the specific reason I said the Knicks are a good matchup for the Sixers, I said Embiid is soft. And everybody was arguing. I was like, he's soft. He's soft. You know who my favorite player is, and he kept getting the blame. And I was watching something when I was watching those silly games. He's soft. He's soft. And everybody's seeing it now.
Why does it always have to go back to James Harden? Like, James Harden in this conversation is irrelevant.
Hold on. Let me ask a question, though. Vindication. That's what you should call yourself. Vindication. Define soft for me, please.
Yes.
Just define what you mean by soft, because you're also talking about a guy. I mean, okay. I need the definition, because he's playing through a knee injury and he has Bell's palsy and he still dropped 50 the other night. Like, tell me what soft for you is.
Okay, but why did he drop 50? Because he hurt the best defender in the NBA versus him and wrecked his foot. Okay, so you leave out that part. And the thing is, how you a foul merchant and you always crying for fouls? You always crying for fouls and you hurt people. You know he has more flagrants than Draymond in half the games played? And came in the league way after Draymond.
He's dirty.
He's more flagrant.
He's a dirty basketball player.
And also Nick Nurse. This whole notion that he's a good coach is wild to me. He got lucky his first year with the end of Kawhi Leonard's prime, and then he's either lost in the first round or not made the playoffs every season, and all his teams are lower seed. Why is he dubbed the genius and all of this when all his teams go look? All of Raptors teams were either a lower seed or never made the playoffs.
It's because he won a championship, D. You know why. Because he won a championship. You know why.
But that's what I'm saying. But it was his rookie season, and that was it. Like, that was, like, luck. It looks like more now. It's not, you know, there's no consistency. Whereas Pop, yeah, they had a bad season, but everyone knows Pop is a good coach. Everyone knows now Thibs is a good coach. See what I'm saying? Where is the actual evidence that Nick Nurse is a good coach? He's shady. Everyone about that organization is shady. But, you know, props to the Knicks. They did what they had to do. Josh Hart has more rebounds than a 7'2" dude, which is wild. Okay? They're doing their thing. I give them their props. I'm not the biggest Knicks fan, but for this series, I was a Knicks fan because I hate the Sixers.
I don't know how you couldn't give him their props, and thanks for the call, D. And yeah, you know what, you're right with this. I don't know why it always goes back to James Harden, but the Knicks have done yeoman's work in this series. And you know what? Also, the process, you can't trust it. That thing they'll never wind up making a conference finals with this team.
I saw a stat last night. So Josh Hart had the 17 rebounds. He's 6'4". Mm-hmm. Embiid 7 feet. Paul Reed 6'9". Kelly Oubre 6'7". The three combined for 14 rebounds. Josh Hart had 17.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. And you know, by the way, Maxey's great. He really is.
See, I could make the argument that team won't reach its potential till it becomes Tyrese Maxey's team.
I would not argue with you.
I think sometimes as a head coach, especially in basketball, you're at the mercy of. I'm not saying Nick Nurse is a good coach. He has won a championship, so that narrative kind of has been created that he's a really good head coach. But you're at the mercy of whoever your best player is. Because that best player will usually set the tone one way or another, or allow you to coach the way that you want to coach. That's why Jalen Brunson is the perfect superstar.
He's an extension of your head coach.
He's got the same exact mentality, man.
Yep.
That's why it works so well. I mean, if our MVP candidate is doing all these things and is willing to be coached the way that he's being coached, how can we expect anything different? We can't.
It's great. Keith in Connecticut. Hey, Keith, you're on 98.7.
Hey, morning, fellas. First time calling in, listening to you guys every morning. Just wanted to call in and talk about, you know, Tibbs just outcoached Nick Nurse in that game. You can see in the second half the defensive adjustments that they made, especially when they had Hartenstein out. I mean, the timing when they doubled Embiid and the defense rotated like a unit. The swing passes going around, they were there. They didn't give him that open three when they tried to pass it. Just, and the conditioning that they've had all season playing all those minutes, they ran him out of the building in the fourth quarter then. Sixers weren't, they were dead. They were dead in the water.
Well, here's the thing. The Knicks have built themselves up for this moment. And there's not a lot of NBA teams that take the regular season the way the Knicks do. So in moments like this, they're not being asked to do something that they're not used to already doing. This is how they play.
Exactly. Yeah, so they didn't have Hartenstein in the fourth quarter. They had Precious in there. They had OG on there. They had Mitchell. They didn't even have Mitchell Robinson the whole game. We were beating them with the bench. It was great to see.
So think about this now. Robinson couldn't play. Obviously, you don't have Randall, and that's not something we even need to discuss. He's not going to be around for the entire postseason. Bogdanovich plays seconds, and then he's out for the rest of the game. Hartenstein got himself into major foul trouble in the third quarter. It feels like whatever you throw at this team, they look at it, they accept it, and they answer the bell every single time.
Right, but it goes back to what they've dealt with the entire season. This is not new to them. This isn't like, hey, we've been, you know, this one team the entire season, and we've been fully healthy, and there's been no, you know, there's been no kind of adversity that we've dealt with. That's what this team has dealt with the entire season. They've dealt with it and found a way.
Yeah. Every obstacle they've had, every single step of the season, they've found a way. And they won 50 games, and they got the 2 seed, and then, well, now we're going to get a real test because it's Philadelphia, and that's fine. No worries, no concerns. We will take care of business, and it feels like they're on the verge of that yet again. 1-800-919-3776. Knicks, obviously, the story, not the only story. We'll spread the love next to other successful New York teams on 98.7 ESPN.
The hardest thing about getting into shape is taking that first step. Isn't it time for you to reach out to NJ Diet? They'll contractually guarantee that you lose at least 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to make sure you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer and without any shots, go to njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Dan and Queen, say hi. Hello. Good morning, Dan. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. I just wanted to say it all turned around in the fourth quarter with Achiuwa out on the floor. So going forward, does Tibbs play Achiuwa more? They held Philly without scoring a field goal for about 6 minutes. That's what the real difference was in the game. I know Brunson. He's the man, MVP, scored all the points, record. But I really saw a difference in the team. Once Achiuwa was out on the floor, like the other caller was saying, the switching on Embiid, he only scored, 20-something points total? It looked like a completely different team. Does Tibbs now play Achiuwa more often? In critical situations, or I know Hartenstein's going to start. But
well, it feels like he's going to have to, though. It feels like he's probably going to have to, because this is something Hartenstein's dealt with the entire series.
Yeah, so it's going to be great, I think. You close out Philly, and then you see what happens the next series. You just don't necessarily have to play Achiuwa if the matchups are not there. So this is going to be Tibbs' time to really shine. And the last thing I wanted to say, is it's about the Lakers, only because I think no team has ever come back from 3-0. And LeBron, they won the in-season tournament. Do they have a shot to come back from 3-0 if they can win? No, right?
No.
I mean, that would just add to his elusive career. But I think he does have a chance. I do. I mean, I just want to see it for basketball. I'm a basketball fan, but the Knicks Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Achua out on the court on Tuesday. Let's go. Let's wrap it up. I want to play Indiana. I called you guys at the beginning of the season. I said there's only one team I'm afraid of in the East. That's Indiana. I want to see them. Boys, thanks for taking my call.
Let's go, Nick. Couple things. The next call. He's scared of Indiana, but he wants to play Indiana. And LeBron, is that an elusive career?
I don't think elusive was the – yeah, I don't think elusive was the word. I mean, sometimes you struggle. Like, I mean –
I was all fired up, though.
Sometimes you get yourself worked into such a frenzy that you forget stuff. Like, I was trying to figure out, you know, I forgot R.J. Barrett's name for a second.
Right.
I mean, things happen.
Help me out here.
Help me out. You know what I was thinking.
Yeah, but I don't think he meant an elusive career.
No. No, I mean, LeBron James is going to go down as...
I'm thinking he meant illustrious.
Illustrious is exactly what he meant.
That could work.
Well done.
Did you say effusive, Ray?
I have no idea what he was going for. I'm just throwing out words that sound similar.
An effusive career?
Listen, you said it yourself. I'm operating on no sleep.
Oh, you know what? Let's not come up with excuses now.
No, he was effusive with his praise of LeBron James.
There you go.
There we go.
Yes, that's accurate. Let's turn our attention a little bit to some of the other locals and how well they did this weekend. We'll start with last night. And you love the 8:15 puck drop in the nation's capital, and that's the Rangers getting by Washington. I got to tell you, I don't know the last time I had such little stress watching the Rangers in the postseason. It felt like no matter what happened, they were going to win that series and that game, and they very workmanlike and discarded the Capitals very quickly and very nicely.
Yeah, they took care of business. I mean, it's exactly what they should have done against a team that really probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs. I mean, Washington's in a really weird spot right now because they're not good enough to compete, but at the same time, they're trying to be competitive enough where, you know, Ovi can chase down this Gretzky goals record. And Ovi was, I mean, he had 5 shots the entire series.
He was non-existent.
Yeah, he had no shots yesterday. I mean, every facet of the game, I mean, you were better. Shesterkin is better. And I mean, Lindgren's fine, but Shesterkin is better.
Right.
Your special teams are better.
Your special teams are the difference maker.
I mean, you scored 15 goals in the series. Eight of them were special teams goals.
What, they have 6-2?
They had
7-1.
Power play to shorthanded?
Yeah.
They had 2 shorthanded goals, didn't they?
2 shorthanded goals, yeah. So 6-2. That's a lot of shorthanded goals.
Oh, dude, that one, the Miller goal.
Oh, the passing. The Benajad pass, yep.
Oh, was gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
What last night felt like, hey, you know, it's always tough. They always say the closeout game's the toughest just because of how desperate the other team's going to be to keep their season alive. And it felt like that, you know, the first 2 periods, you know, Washington was going to do whatever they could to try to stay in this thing. And then third period, Rangers are like, no, we're not going to delay the inevitable because God forbid something happens. Like, I mean, you're lucky you dodged a ball with Fox yesterday.
Oh, that's dirty stuff.
Guy sticks his leg out.
He sticks his leg out, then the Rangers score, and Wilson goes after Fox? Like, come on, man.
So, I mean, that's the stuff you're trying to avoid. Because I even felt like at some point last night, like, if things were going to start getting chippy because Washington could see the writing on the wall. But the Rangers right now, starting with Shesterkin, are going to be a problem. It's going to be a great series. They'll end up playing Carolina.
Right.
The interesting thing with that series is going to be how much pressure Carolina is going to put on you. Like, power play, it's not going to be like they are much, much more the amount of pressure that you're going to see with that team. And then on top of that, how much pressure they put on you on the offensive zone. They're a man-on-man team. So will the Rangers be able to, you know, we'll get in all those breakdowns and everything else. Just with the D jumping in and everything else, can they have enough, you know, offensive zone time where they can start to break that down?
No, you went up against a team in Washington that really had no chance to beat you. I mean, you were better in every aspect. You're deeper, bigger, faster, stronger, better goaltending, better special team, you name it. And that completely changes. Not that you're not the equivalent of Carolina, but they're the equivalent of you. So you can't go through the motions in games and take periods off and, you know, allow them to cycle. I mean, there were times where the Rangers couldn't clear. I remember Sam Rosen last night was saying, like, the Rangers have tried to get out of the zone 6 times and they just can't. Against Carolina, you're not going to be able to get away with some of that stuff.
No. Especially, I mean, Freddie Anderson's playing really good hockey. They have defense, I mean, as far as their unit defensively is concerned, really, really good. The additions of Gensel and then Kuznetsov, that's a really good team. And the Islanders, I mean, give them credit. for battling.
I love
Barzal it. Showed up to the party. Varlamov was really good.
I'm rooting for the Islanders tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, you want that series to go as long as possible.
Of course.
As long as possible.
Of course. So Varlamov is the netminder now, huh?
Yeah, they tried Shesterkin, which I thought they would do. I was all for
Sorokin.
It. Sorokin, and it just didn't end up pulling him. It didn't work out. Varley's just has been playing better. That's what it is.
Surprising.
Well, you got to remember, too, that Varlamov played for Patty in Colorado. So there's already that kind of trust built up. But they tried, after losing the first couple, they figured, hey, if we have, we have a goalie that's capable of stealing a game for us, let's try it. And you could tell how much he wanted it. Like, he sat in the freaking tunnel with his helmet on. He was so disgusted with himself. Like, he probably wanted it too much. And Varlamov's played great.
Grind it out, win game five, win game six, extend that series, go double overtime, triple overtime as the Rangers sit and watch and they're rested. What's nice also is that Panarin, who with all these question marks, right? What's he going to be able to be? Well, you know what? That was Artemi Panarin in the series against Washington.
Well, Panarin, Zibanejad had, I think, 7 points in the series.
He was great. He's raised the level of his game. And you know what? But that's what you need, and that's what you expect from your star players.
I'll tell you what the most impressive thing for me, though, in the series was, and it was, Panarin's hit on TJ Oshie. It's this Rangers team is not going to be afraid to take on the physicality that's going to be necessary to get themselves through the playoffs, because they'll continually get tested. That's what's going to happen. Fox will be tested. Panarin will be tested. Their skill guys are going to consistently be tested. Are they going to stand up in first round against a team that's a pretty physical team with Tom Wilson running around and everything
right.
else? They stood up, and they held their own. And I'm telling you, you can just tell, Panarin knows how important it is for him to play well in the postseason. How last year ended, and as good as he's been during the regular season, that's not what's most important when you play here. All that stuff is great.
Right.
Like, everyone loves the regulars. Especially when you're a team that's expected, has expectations like the Rangers have.
To go on a run. Here's the head coach, Peter Laviolette, discussing how important this series was for number 10.
I think it's really important, and you want, that confidence, I think, builds guys feeling the puck, they're moving the puck, they're producing, it gives them confidence, and that's what they thrive in. But again, he had an amazing year as well, and I think the work through the course of the year has set himself and pushed himself to a point where now he can enter the playoffs and continue to play that way.
But you're right. And when we love him here, but you go from being beloved to iconic if you can play at that level in the postseason.
Right. Your regular seasons set you up with different expectations now, right? Like, he's been one of the best players in the NHL since you signed him, since he chose to be a Ranger. It just hasn't translated to the postseason yet. And if he wants to kind of take that next step to being like you just mentioned, he's got to have that same kind of impact in the playoffs.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the calls on the hockey. Got to get into the baseball. We go around the league and then, of course, back to the Knicks. 1-800-919-3776. D and R with you on a fun, exhilarating Monday on 98.7 ESPN. Well, the NBA playoffs are here, and the New York Knicks are in. Oh, are they ever. It's time to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. Download the BetMGM app today and make every playoff game and every vital play mean more than ever with same-game parlays, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience the excitement of wagering on the NBA playoffs and get in on all the blue and orange action as your New York Knicks drive the lane. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and your New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of all sports books with you wherever you go. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey. Only. Gambling problem in New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New Jersey. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. It's time to go around the league.
All right, let's do this together. Around the league, post-draft around the league. A lot of news, a lot of notes, a lot of nuggets. Tyler Newbin was the second-round pick of the New York Football Giants. Here's what it sounded like when it happened.
Hey, it's Joe Shane with the New York Giants. How you doing?
Doing great, man.
You doing great?
I'm doing great, yes, sir, man. I'm doing great, man.
You ready to be a New York Giant?
Bro, I'm ready. I'm ready, man. Come get me.
We're
come
about
get
to.
Me, bro.
All right, man. I can't wait. Here's Coach
yes,
Dable.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
Doing amazing, bro.
Well, we're excited to have you. You're a ball hawk, true pro already, and you fit what we're trying to build, man. So, congratulations.
Man, I appreciate it. Hey, y'all just made the best decision this whole time.
You take care, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome.
I got to tell you, firstly, it sounds like they're calling from another planet, and they're calling down to Tyler Newbin on Earth. But secondly, I could listen to those all day long.
I love those. I love those. And that's a good player, man. That was a good pick.
I think it was Nick Saban that said he's the top safety in the entire draft.
Right. So not only him, but... And I don't know if you like PFF or not, but PFF actually has ranked him as the top. Who was the top safety prospect in the draft?
Well, you lost Xavier McKinney, and you needed to replace him, and it feels like you probably have.
Right. So why we don't value the position enough to pay as much as it was going to cost for Xavier McKinney, which kind of sucks because you like to keep guys, 24-year-old players that you drafted and developed, but you get a kid now that's a much cheaper option.
Exactly, because McKinney did certainly get paid. One of the guys the Jets drafted, Malachi Corley, who ESPN's Jordan Reed compared to the one and only Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, another player that is very dynamic as far as yards after the catch. So he had over 900 yards receiving last year. Over 600 came after the catch. A very strong body. He is a wide receiver, but he has a running back type of body at about 6'1", 225 pounds. He's going to receive the Deebo Samuel comparison a ton of just how strong he is after the catch. Needs to get better as a route runner, but at Western Kentucky, he was so effective on about three routes. They really only ran him on shallows, occasional screens, and then they would run him on a double move. So he needs to get better as far as his polish as a route runner. But he's very strong. He's going to be able to play right away just because of his play strength.
I think I heard him say that he wants to live in Aaron Rodgers' guest house.
He's the Yak King. He's the Yak King.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I was talking to someone on Friday, maybe. It might have been Friday. And they had mentioned that the Jets actually tried to get up in the draft, up in that area to get one of the wide receivers because they were that in love with those top three receivers. And then fourth on their list was Malachi. And they tried to trade up into the second round to get him because that's the guy that they wanted. Didn't end up having until they ended up getting him in the third round. But you heard that clip, the 683 yards after the catch. Also in his three seasons, 63 missed tackles on 253 receptions. So this guy get the ball in his hands and good luck trying to get him to the
ground. Yeah, I like this pick a lot for the Jets because Western Kentucky is that team, if you remember ESPN, they'll put like those Tuesday night games and Wednesday night games. And Western Kentucky felt like they were on a lot. And I watched him a ton, and he's a really good player.
Yeah, now you add him with Mike Williams and Garrett. You also got Brownlee. I mean, they got a pretty good unit now.
If Mike Williams is healthy and this kid is able to develop into what they think he can develop into, they're going to have a really good wide receiver room.
Yeah, and then Xavier Gibson too.
Yep. You're never going to believe this. Guess who loves what the Jets did? Loves it.
I hope Mel.
I think Mel likes it, but your dear friend.
Oh, no. Barnwell?
Bill Barnwell loves what the Jets did.
Not a team I loved last year, but a team where I love what they're doing this year, the New York Jets. They are in such a better place this year than they were a year ago, where it felt like they were just praying for guys to stay healthy, for Aaron Rodgers' friends to be impact receivers, made changes during the offseason in terms of free agency, where you bring in guys like a Tyron Smith, you bring in Morgan Moses at tackle, John Simpson at guard, you sign Mike Williams, but then you add to that in this draft.
How about that? Loves what your Jets are doing.
Great. I'm happy that he loves what we're doing. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. One of the things that he pointed to when I attacked him last year was that the defense was going to be hurt, right?
Right.
That was the thing he points to? Defense had stayed healthy and then was going to get hurt, and that's what
right.
his fear was?
Yep.
Okay. So you're also talking about Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses are older players that have injury concerns. Morgan Moses coming off pec surgery, and Tyron Smith just hasn't stayed healthy.
And he's, old. He's been in the league for a long
right.
time.
Which was why it was the smart move. to actually draft.
Watch this. Watch this. Fashionu.
Attaboy.
See?
I heard someone too the other day, like, why would you draft a guy that has the chance to not play? Guess what? If Olu Fashionu doesn't play, we're going to be...
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Right.
That we have a real good chance to win the division if that happens.
And by the way, he's going to play.
Oh, of course he's going to play.
Unless he's bad, he's going to play.
Someone's going to get hurt. It's bound to happen.
Of course. Everyone always gets hurt. Have you ever hurt? How many offensive line combinations did the Jets go through last season? 11?
No, it was more than that. It was 12 or 13.
Right. So you're going to tell me that you have a kid that there's such expectations about if he's good that you're going to... No, we're going to take the season. No way.
Yeah, listen. I mean, it had to be done. The only thing that was going to... Not the only thing, but at the top of the list of things that could derail the season, it's going to be the offensive line. Not giving Aaron Rodgers the ability to actually do what he can do. Right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, of course.
As much as you wanted to get Roma Dunze, which would have been awesome, if, God forbid, something happens to Tyron Smith or Morgan Moses, and you don't have appropriate backups to step in and play well, it doesn't matter who you have at wide receiver.
This feels like the smarter pick. Not the sexier. Not the more water cooler conversation, the smarter, more down to earth pick.
This was smart. This is what I was hoping they would do.
Me the same. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg. That's us on 98.7 ESPN WEPN FM. Where?
New York.
That's right. That's where we are. Let's continue along around the league. Now I lost it. Where is this around the league? Let me get it back. Here we go. The Jets also traded defensive end John Franklin Myers in exchange for a sixth-round pick in 2026. Franklin Myers was slated to be in the third year of a four-year, $55 million extension that he signed back in 2021. He was scheduled to make $29 million over the next 2 years. He was very expendable, and I think to move on from that salary was a very, very nice move, smart move, appropriate move for the Jets.
Well, good player.
Good player.
Once they brought in, Reddick. The problem right now, and I think it's coming, it should be coming up here in the fancy around the league, is just the amount of dead money.
It's coming up in the next story.
Yeah.
And that next story is, that's why you got to win this year. The Jets will have about $52 million in dead cap space this season. Roughly 20% of the entire cap. Laken Tomlinson, what a bad signing that was, will count for almost $11 million. Jonathan Franklin Myers, $9 million. And Zach Wilson, $8.5 million.
Well,
none
that's
will
not
be
even
on
it.
The team. And yeah, they're going to account for $10, $9, and $8 million.
Well, yeah. I mean, C.J. Uzomah's almost six. Carl Lawson's almost six. Dwayne Brown's almost five. That's a lot of money, man. I think it's, third in the NFL, dead cap-wise?
Is that right? Saints got to be up there, right? They always have a ton of dead cap.
Yeah, this is... I can't wait for the season, man. I really can't.
Well, May is Wednesday, right? So you got May, June, July, August. You got 4 months, and then it's here.
I wouldn't even mention, too, because he was so bad. He was so bad this season. I mean, Lazard, too.
Right, Alan Lazard, who maybe only Aaron Rodgers can make good. But you know what? That's your quarterback, so that works out well. Former Jet Mekhi Becton he's singing with the Eagles on a one-year deal worth up to $5.5 million.
You're a bad
Why?
Guy.
Why?
Because not only does RJ takes the time to do all this around the league stuff,
right.
Is you chastise him when he writes singing instead of signing.
Oh. I was just reading what it said.
He could sing with the Eagles.
Maybe he has a mellifluous voice. You don't know that he's capable or
they
not capable of singing.
They release albums down there in Philadelphia.
Also, maybe he takes Jason Kelsey's spot is what
you're
saying.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe they use him at a tackle spot, and when there's like a team dinner, it's like, hey, Mekhi, sing.
No, I don't think they do. They release Christmas albums in Philly.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, exactly that.
I don't think they want him to just like sing, get up and sing and dance.
Well, maybe right after the rookie dinner, like the rookie talent show. They're like, Mekhi, you have that beautiful voice. We signed you to play and to sing. Why don't you go ahead and get at it?
Well, he's not a rookie, first of all. And second of all, I mean, I don't know if that's really what he's interested in doing.
Well, RJ, is he singing and signing, or did you just mean signing with the Eagles?
Just signing, Dave.
Oh.
You know, it's amazing that you could read that verbatim, but earlier on that you didn't know that Jalen Brunson was the first 40-10 playoff Nick. That was first line of the rundown, so that's sad.
Oh, I didn't look at the rundown.
Yeah, you didn't read
it. You know what I did do, though? You'll appreciate this. I fully read the look ahead from yesterday.
I got that because you cited something earlier from it. So I'm impressed. You said a couple things, actually.
It's baby steps with me.
Yeah, and that was a long one yesterday. That was
I liked it.
Lengthy.
It was big and bulbous, and I read every word of it.
Did you feel there were some good nuggets in there?
I did.
All right.
I absolutely did. So, and I'm excited. If I'm the only one, I look forward to Mekhi Becton singing with the Eagles.
Singing and signing, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a guy at a rookie party that hung a winter coat from his...
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Like a coat rack.
Yeah, like a coat rack. Really? It's very heavy jacket, too.
That's nice. Wild. That's a party trick.
It looked dangerous. I got to be honest. It looked dangerous. I didn't think that it could hold that much weight, but it did.
That's you know, good for him.
Yeah.
Because if his career in hockey didn't work out, he has other options. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, was on with Pat McAfee and friends, and he didn't sing. He talked about the possibility of an 18-game NFL schedule.
I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. If we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off. So that's...
Wow.
Now we're cooking.
How long have we been saying this for?
Forever.
I mean, I feel like this show has been so early to that party. I would say at least 5 years we've been saying this is where we're going to wind up.
Yeah, it's just I think it was just a matter of time, and the owners and Roger Goodell kind of easing the players into actually playing 18 games now.
It's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games.
It's a lot of football games. But you know what the truth is, and it's a sad truth? People want it.
People want it. It means more money for the players. And as much as Roger Goodell doesn't want preseason games, I'm sure the players don't really want to play in preseason games anyway either.
Well, how long have we been at 17? Not that long, right?
No, it hasn't been that long at all.
Like 3 years, maybe?
Well, you saw the pushback with the 17 games. That's too much. Now,
right.
I mean, we're on the...
But you're on the verge of adding two games to a 16-game schedule in like a five-year span. That's a lot.
That's a lot. But it is, not for us, because we'll have to work on that Monday, but for everyone else.
It's the dream.
It's the best.
Well, think about that. Like, what we do is different, right? Of course, we have to be there on the Monday, and we should be there on the Monday. That's for starters. Secondly, we're used to going through nights where it's like, all right, you go to bed at 11:30 and you wake up at 4 or 3 or whatever. That's the norm. But if you go to a Super Bowl party and you get home at, I don't know, midnight, or your kids get home at a late hour, 11:30, and now they have to be up at 6:30. That's not normal. That's not easy for everyone to have to deal with.
No, and you're way more likely to go to a Super Bowl party now because you don't have work the next day.
Right. So what? The game starts usually, what, like 6:20 or something, right?
I think so.
And it ends at around 10:45 because the halftime is extensive, right? 10:30 maybe?
Yeah, you got the 30-minute halftime.
And then by the time you get home, you wash up, you take a shower, you get to bed, you're looking at 11:30, even close to midnight. That's late for a Sunday night.
And you can really enjoy yourself now.
Right.
Get a little loose.
You're adding a lot to the players and their responsibility and their health and their well-being. But as far as what the nation wants, that's exactly what the country wants.
Yeah, that's what everyone would want. It's going to come down to money, though. I mean, yeah, as much as we complain about it, you know, we don't. It's too many games. As long as it means more money for everybody, then they'll be happy to do it.
They'll get it done. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris says that Kirk Cousins is the team's unquestioned starter, despite the Falcons selecting quarterback Michael Penix Jr. of Washington with the 8th overall pick. Cousins has yet to play in the first year of a 4-year contract worth up to $180 million. Of that, $100 million is guaranteed.
Yeah, I understand why they did it. I don't.
No, you don't.
Oh, I kind of do. I mean, in theory, when you look at Kirk Cousins' contract, his age, coming off the Achilles, they think they're going to be a good team. When's the next chance to be up, you know, with the 8th overall pick and draft the successor to Kirk Cousins? You don't want to get stuck in limbo, but you're also not helping not helping Kirk Cousins or this team win now.
But you don't have real concerns about the Achilles. If you had real concerns about the Achilles, you wouldn't have signed the guy in the first place.
I get it. And I was also with you, and I'm still with you. It was shocking that they drafted Michael Penix. But I can, the more I hear it explained, I can't understand with it how important the quarterback position is. Once Kirk Cousins is gone, and we feel like we're going to be a good team with Kirk Cousins, what it's going to actually cost to get up in a draft to get a quarterback when we can just take him now with the 8th overall pick.
Well, now they have no concerns about the future quarterback, but I don't know that it makes them any better right now.
Well, it doesn't.
They're trying to win with Kirk Cousins, so I don't know.
It doesn't. That's the problem. It doesn't make them better now, but they hope in the long run it will, because they'll go right from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix.
The Eagles. You know, you've heard of them, the Singing Eagles, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, with their fraud. I wonder if they have fraud fans too, like the 76ers do. Anyhow, they tied the record with 8 trades during draft weekend. They join last year's Texans and the 2018 Patriots for the most draft day trades since 1990.
They had a good draft.
Very, very good draft, Eagles. Unfortunately.
And somehow, Raymond, they find ways to pay the quarterback and both wide receivers and everyone else.
And offensive linemen, and they still bring in Mekhi Becton, and right?
Make it make sense.
Not going to make sense for you. Ian Rappaport reports that Zeke Elliott is back with Dallas. Congratulations, Ray.
I'll let you in on the plan. They drafted Cooper Beebe at Kansas State, right? And they're going to move him over the center. But if he doesn't work out, Zeke can slide right into center and
can Zeke
it.
Play center on normal plays, or is that only like a specialty play that he can slide into center?
You got to wait and see. Mm-hmm. It's only a shame that Kellen Moore's in Philadelphia now.
Yeah, this has Carpe Omnia written all over it.
Carpe.
Yeah.
if you can't tell, I'm so excited by it. Listen, it's free. They already paid him, so it's a free signing, right? They already paid him. Nothing to worry about.
That's
there.
Nice. That works out well. The Chiefs have reportedly started looking at stadium options beyond Arrowhead. Clark Hunt said the Chiefs would look at options beyond renovating Arrowhead Stadium as they search for a home beyond the expiration of their lease following the 2030 season. Voters in Missouri rejected a sales tax measure earlier this month that would have helped fund major renovations to Arrowhead. I don't know if you feel like this. This is gross.
It's like it's gross.
If we're not going to get exactly what we want, and everyone, the taxpayer is going to pick up the improvements to Arrowhead, then we're going to look to find another place to play.
Right, to make our team more valuable.
Well, you know, okay. So if they wind up upgrading the stadium and making a fortune of more money, do the taxpayers see anything in return for that?
No. The taxpayers get to go buy tickets to watch the Kansas City Chiefs, or
probably
to say
inflated tickets, right?
Right, or just to say, you know, to tell everyone, you know, my football team is the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's gross, though.
That's what they all do, though. They all do it.
And it's disgusting. It's like we want this from the taxpayers. If you're not going to fund us to build a new stadium or, you know, adjust the stadium we have and to make it fancier with more luxury suites, then maybe we'll move.
Yeah, but
we'll go to a different place.
They all want the same thing now, though. They all want not just the stadium. They want all the bells and whistles that come around the stadium, like what they have in Foxborough.
A full venue?
That's what all these teams want, yeah.
Then build it.
Well, they want why build it if we can get you to help us build it?
It's so gross. We want you to build it for us, and then we'll reap all the benefits of getting the new facility.
Right. We'll watch the valuation of our team skyrocket because we now have this whole new complex.
Yeah, it really is disgusting. And that's around the league on a Monday morning. That was nice. Thanks for that.
It really is, though. I mean, I know Raymond is just disgusted with his team right now.
Yeah.
But the business side of this for Jerry Jones, I'm looking at an article from August 9th, 2023. The Dallas Cowboys were worth $2 billion more than the second-place Giants.
But that's what makes it even worse.
Oh, and I know, and that's why he's so frustrated. But that's, I mean, his team's worth almost 10, and the Giants, it says in this article, are worth 7.
But that's what makes it even worse, is that you're worth so much money, you're still so bizarrely cheap with some of the things and decisions you make.
Well, I think he's Raymond, like every Cowboys fan knows, that he's all in to make the most money possible, not necessarily to win a championship.
But I mean, he's 80-something years old. He has more money than he even knows what to do with. Why is it about the money at this point? I don't understand it.
His legacy is secure, Dave. I mean, whether you like him or not, the guy's in the Hall of Fame already.
No, I get that. And he has had tremendous success, but he hasn't had tremendous success. I would, and maybe I'm wrong, I would think he would want desperately to win one more championship before it's over for him.
I think he really wants to win another championship, but if he has to sacrifice certain things along the way, then it's not worth it to him. I just think that's the truth.
That's kind of a sad testament to where we are.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be 30 years now. This is who Jerry Jones is.
It's not like they haven't won a title in 30 years. They haven't been to an NFC Championship game in 30 years.
Yep. But again, if winning a title was that important to Jerry Jones, he'd hire certain people in certain aspects, get out of the way, because that's the thing that nobody talks about. Like when he's owner / vice president, general manager, executive, blah blah blah, all that other stuff. He has so many other responsibilities that he's had to do over the years that takes away from being able to do the football stuff. Now, he pawns off all the scouting and roster building to Will McClay. That's why Will McClay does such a good job, and they do excellent drafting. And this draft this past weekend kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit. I thought they did a good job. But all that other stuff that he has to worry about, cap management and all that, he doesn't have time for that. He's just going by what people tell him.
Richard, we need to get back to the New York Knicks is what we need to do. And again, listen, Rangers are on the table. Islanders, terrific win, keeping their season alive. Great. Go back to Carolina with at least a prayer. Mets, great win yesterday. Yankees bust out the bats this weekend after a bad loss on Friday. The NFL draft, I thought the Jets did really well. I thought the Giants did well in addition. But and the story today is the Knicks to go in undermanned. And I wrote in a tweet, undermanned. I got so many undermanned. How are they undermanned? How are they undermanned? Yeah, I mean, yeah, you haven't had Julius Randle for the entire second half of the season, but we've come to terms with that. Fine. Mitchell Robinson, who's been a key factor in this series, he can't play in the game yesterday. Bogdanovich gets hurt in 20 seconds into playing. You were undermanned, and you looked them in the eye, and you spit in their face, and you walked into Philadelphia, and you smacked them around. You were undermanned, and you won the game, and I feel so proud right now as a Knicks fan this morning.
Yeah, I don't understand how you could get criticized for saying that you're undermanned.
By a lot of people.
Well, how's that possible, though?
I don't know.
You don't have your second-best player. I mean, the guy who's actually done the best job defensively against Joel Embiid up to this point,
right,
is out, can't play. And then you lose Bogdanovich, who's supposed to be a guy you can count off coming off your bench to score some, I mean, to make some threes and help you offensively. I mean, the second he gets checked in, Batum rolls up on his ankle, and who knows how long he's going to be out. And you get down 12 early in the first quarter, and you bounce back like you have the entire series. And then fourth quarter, Jalen Brunson scored or assisted on 70 of the 97 points.
I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like that.
70
of the 97.
Because
it wasn't a high-scoring game. So you had 27 non-Brunson-involved points in that game.
That's correct.
That's pretty impressive.
That's real impressive.
Yeah.
Knicks 15 offensive rebounds. That's impressive. 7 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter.
And what were you, plus 10 on the glass?
That's impressive. On top of that, what you did to Joel Embiid, again, in another fourth quarter, where he had 1 point, 0 for 5, and 1 rebound. Thanks.
Love it. Thanks for coming. But who is the person, correct me, because I don't remember exactly, who is the person that said, oh, we're going to come back and win the series?
Joel Embiid.
Yeah, well, are you going to do anything to try to facilitate that in the fourth quarter, pal?
He hasn't.
No.
He has not.
And we should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series.
Okay, he didn't say anything that stupid yesterday, did he?
He called out his fan base a little bit.
Right. I don't think he's wrong on that.
No, but you don't say it.
Why?
I don't know, because you don't take on the fan base. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, but how about the fan base show up for, I mean, the most important game of the season? You're going to sell your tickets to the opposition fan?
Well, how about give us a reason to?
It's another example of it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah, how about give us a reason to? How about that? How about
they gave a reason to in game three.
In game three they did.
Oh, right. So you gave them a reason in game three, and you turn around and you say, you know what, how much will you pay me for this ticket? All right, you got it.
Yeah, but how about, I mean, take some of the blame on yourself once in a while. Like, I don't want to hear complaining after game two that it was the referee's fault. I mean, we went through all the different things that could have been done that game. How about last night? Right? Instead of, you know, passing up a wide open jumper when you decide to make the move to the rim, actually dunk it. How about that? How about Lowry lets Tyrese Maxey know that he's actually missing a free throw on purpose? So Tyrese Maxey's paying attention.
You didn't tell me you were missing the free throw.
Like, how about some of that stuff? I mean, I can't explain what happened in Philly with their crowd All I can do is give tons of credit to the Knicks fans that traveled down there and took over the place, because that was freaking awesome.
It really was. And completely, at least for me, unexpected.
Well, you kind of saw it in game. I mean,
but not to that extent.
Not to that level. You saw it in game three behind the Knicks bench. There were a lot of Knicks fans there. But yesterday, to have that with the MVP chants and the FMB stuff and everything else, and then the celebration afterwards.
I mean, in your own building. How embarrassing is that? In your own building, to have them, you know, MVP chants for the opposition and bleep Embiid after the game? Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. That's like catching your wife like your own bed.
On the honeymoon.
Yeah, like it's right on the bed.
You ever see that movie with Ben Stiller?
Which one? I've seen when he goes down for the scuba.
Is that the one where he goes to scuba? Were they on their honeymoon?
It was along Kane Pauly, wasn't it?
That was along Kane
Pauly.
No.
It was Ben Stiller goes on a, he marries Malin, I don't know if you ever say Ackerman, the pretty blonde from Billions that was married to Bobby Axelrod. He marries her.
Yeah. It's along Kane Pauly, and she cheats on him with the scuba instructor. It's along Kane Pauly.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. With Jennifer Aniston?
I'm telling you, it's not that he falls in love with another woman.
Oh, on the honeymoon, right?
On the honeymoon.
Yeah, that was Along Came Polly.
Oh, my God. It's not Along Came Polly.
It's the scuba instructor, right?
No, she cheats on him.
I'm going to rip out my larynx. It's not Along Came Polly. If you look at a filmography of
Ben Stiller.
I'm looking
at it right now.
The Heartbreak Kid, is that it?
No, it's got to be Along Came Polly.
Oh, no.
If you're talking about the scuba instructor.
Please. You know what? I'm going to go.
I don't know which movie you're talking about.
Are you looking at his filmography?
Flirting with Disaster?
No.
Cameron Diaz was in The Heartbreak Kid.
The Heartbreak Kid.
So it must be that one.
That's what it is. It's The Heartbreak Kid. And there's a terrible sunburn.
Yeah, I don't remember if I've seen The Heartbreak Kid.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Sounds it.
Wow. I think that was a shot.
And you know what else they do, RJ? They sing. They dance. It's great. You'd love it.
But Along Came Polly's the one where he gets cheated on with the scuba instructor.
That's Hank Azaria.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a different movie we're talking about.
The Heartbreak Kid in here.
He did a movie called The Heartbreak Kid.
Oh, I'll take your word for it, okay?
He has the short fling with Malin Ackerman.
Right.
And they get married. And
yes.
And then he realizes that she's a shrew.
Right.
But I don't know. It doesn't say anything about. I didn't see that one, so it doesn't say anything about him getting cheated on. He just finds out that she's not a great match.
Well, maybe it doesn't spill all the beans, but there's cheating, and he falls in love with I forget her name. Monahan might be her last name, and then
Michelle.
Michelle Monahan. Yes, that's exactly right.
My goodness, I think we're on the same page now.
Yeah, thanks God.
This is good.
This is great radio.
I don't know why we're yelling.
Well, we could sing it. Would that be better, RJ?
We could sign
it. Ben Stiller cheated on his wife. I hope we all brought
now
parachutes.
Now I'm like Mekhi Becton with the Eagles.
I hope we all brought parachutes for the cliff we just drove off of for the last 2 minutes.
Well, if I had anybody that could pay any attention.
To Along Came Polly.
What are we paying attention to?
It was not Along Came Polly. I got a text from my buddy. He goes, Heartbreak Kid, not these idiots thinking it's Along Came Polly.
You mentioned the scuba instructor.
No, I did. That was my fault.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He mentioned he's addicted to scuba. Frank, the guy that you met at the bar mitzvah, Frank, he goes, these idiots, tell them it's the Heartbreak Kid.
I don't remember the Heartbreak Kid for some reason.
Well, you know what? Watch it. You'd like it. So none of the four of us, except for me, have seen the Heartbreak Kid.
We're just not as cultured as you.
No, it's not a cultured
movie. I got to think I've seen it. I just don't remember it.
You should watch it. It's very well done. All right, let's get to a call on the Knicks. We'll go to Matt in Woodbridge. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm a Knicks fan, and I was at the game yesterday. And, you know, I know there were a lot of Knicks fans at the game Thursday, but, man, I'm telling you, yesterday, I don't think I could sit here and say it was, you know, 50-50, but it was damn close to it. I had Knicks fans to my left, in front of me, behind me. But, of course, to my right, I had that one stereotypical Philly fan who was yapping all game. And it was funny because when Hartenstein picked up his fifth foul, he was waving him goodbye, saying he's out of the game, start the bus, not realizing that his sixth foul would have fouled him out. So typical Philly fan, not knowing what he was talking about. But I just wanted to give Thibodeau his flowers. for the adjustment he made late in the game, getting OG on Embiid. And I really found myself watching that matchup, you know, because OG just really wore down Embiid. And, you know, they obviously had to make a change there with Hartenstein picking up the fifth foul, but it ended up, you know, working out with them. And Mitchell Robinson being out obviously played a role in that as well. I hope we lock the series up tomorrow. It's actually my birthday. So, be the best birthday gift to just wrap up the series, send Embiid home crying, and I hope we get it done. So thanks for taking the call, guys, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for that. It would be great to send him home crying. What a birthday celebration it would be for that guy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Matt. Nice little present. Send that little whiny little dirty baby home.
I know what you want to say. You almost let it slip there,
too. I was close.
I'm glad you caught yourself.
Not one of us has to maintain ourselves today and not be a complete line stepper.
How about this email from Danny Gustino? Says, Heartbreak Kid was a great movie. Also find it unreal how these guys on the show wouldn't believe you and were convinced it was a Long Came Polly. Put some respect on Dave's genius movie knowledge.
Again, you're just more cultured than we are.
It's not about being cultured. I know more things.
The culture of Ben Stiller movies.
Has more free time probably too.
Great Nick fan, Ben Stiller.
Since his list of responsibilities around the house aren't very long.
Good news is I just landed on my parachute safely on the ground after the cliff. Both feet on planet Earth.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.